Today's reading starts at Matthew 4, verse 23. We'll continue the first part of the reading into just after the start of verse 5 of chapter 5, before resuming our reading in Matthew chapter 8. So we'll start off at Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And moving across to the start of chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean?" Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
Now, throughout lockdown, one of our life group members has kept us entertained with matte cartoons, amongst other things. Many of those cartoons are about social distancing and quarantine. Let me share a few with you. So here's our first one. You should come up on screen. As lockdown eases, an elderly couple walk out their front door. They find a huge sign in their garden that says, "That's far enough." Or let's go to an airport now. An airport official greets passengers at arrivals with, "You'll spend 14 days in quarantine. It will also give us time to find your luggage." Or another airport one, holidaymakers are greeted with a UK tourist board poster that reads, "Visit Great Britain, a relaxing holiday without all the tiring days out." Or perhaps my favorite one was this one, the school playground. It's marked on the playground floor with circles for social distancing. A big bully shouts into a microphone across the playground to a small child, and he says, "Transfer your lunch money to me electronically or beat yourself up." Well, the contagious nature of coronavirus has meant that social distancing, self-isolation, and quarantine have become part and parcel of our new way of life. Coronavirus is all too easy caught. It's highly contagious, and it has changed life the world over. But what if healing and wholeness could be contagious? Rather than infection and disease, what if there were people, what if there was a person who, if they touched you or if they coughed on you, they spread health and well-being so that you were healed or you were immune from coronavirus just by a touch from them? You know, if healing and wholeness were contagious from them, everyone would want to high-five them. They would literally have the world on their doorstep. Well, that is precisely why we read in Matthew chapter 8, and verse 1, have a look at it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. He's just preached his most famous Sermon on the Mount. But prior to this, in Matthew 4, 23 and 24 that we've just read, we learn that large crowds had accompanied Jesus from far and wide. And it was because of his authority to preach, but also his power to heal. Now, Matthew's big theme in his gospel is that Jesus Christ is king. And as he begins his public ministry 2,000 years ago, what we know today as Israel, crowds flock to him. Why? Well, because from him came healing and wholeness. He seemed to be contagious with it. In fact, in Matthew 8 and 9 that we're going to look at in the weeks ahead, Matthew shows Christ the King's power and authority in a world of disease and illness and tragedy and evil and death and disability. So in our world. And here in chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, Jesus transforms the life of this broken man. And what we see here this morning speaks so powerfully into our situation today. Here is cleansing that is contagious, and it is the hope of our world. Well, the first thing we see in this passage is that we want to feel Christ's compassion. Feel Christ's compassion and have comfort. Look at verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Now, we need a bit of background to this. A leper was a social outcast in society, unable to fully participate in social life, in the life of the community, in religious life. Today, leprosy is a specific skin condition called Hansen's disease. But in Jesus' day, leprosy was a more general term that was used for a range of skin conditions. Some of them were curable, but some of them weren't. And the advanced stages of it were horrific. Where there was no cure or vaccine for it, the only option was to strictly quarantine people. So if you suspected you had a skin disease, you had to immediately report to the priest for examination. And if symptoms were bad and quite clearly chronic, well, you were pronounced unclean. But if the diagnosis was unclear, you had to isolate for 7 or maybe 14 days. Only if the symptoms faded were you pronounced clean. You had to wash all your clothes and you could go back home. But if you were pronounced unclean, your life literally went into lockdown. You were banned from populated areas, from towns and the villages. You had to self-isolate from family and from friends. You had to live away from society. It was the only safe option. And everyone you saw needed early warning that you were unsafe. People needed to realize at a distance that you were contagious. So you had to wear worn out and torn clothes. Your hair was to be unkempt. Think Boris. To stop you breathing on people, you had to cover over the lower part of your face. So think face masks. And anyone who came anywhere near you, you were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." But leprosy was not only terrible because it ruined your body and it isolated you from loved ones and society, but it was also defiling. Under Old Testament law, it made you ceremonially unclean. You were unable to worship at the temple. It was so key to their way of life. So what happens here in Matthew 4? It is extraordinary. It is unprecedented. This leper, this untouchable, he came and knelt before Jesus. Now, I wonder if you've sneezed at all over the past, I don't know, 11 weeks since lockdown. You know what happens when you sneeze nowadays? By the time you've opened your eyes, anyone who was anywhere near you has kind of vanished. You're on your own. And they're kind of shrinking away. So can you imagine the crowd as this leper approaches Jesus? He's clothed in rags. It's another Boris Hare day. His face is masked and he's probably crying out, unclean, unclean. It's like throwing a hand grenade into the crowd. Everyone scatters to a safe distance, except for Jesus, who stands there with him. This broken, lonely, wretched man is left on his knees before Christ the King. He's too desperate to worry about the repulsion of the crowd. One thing he knows is this. This man, Jesus, is contagious with healing and with wholeness. Somehow he'd heard about people talk about Jesus, the great healer. Maybe he'd even from the shadows seen Jesus at work. I wonder if you notice that he doesn't directly ask Jesus to heal him. Have a look at verse 2 again. He makes a statement. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I wonder if in that you can sense his broken spirit. He's a crushed man. He's got no doubts in his mind that Jesus has power to heal him. He knows that. What he has doubts about is Jesus' willingness to heal him. Maybe years and years of social isolation, of people recoiling from him. He could see the fear in their eyes as they looked at him, at the sight of him, with only the kindest, willing to throw him scraps of bread. He feels worthless. He's lost hope in humanity to help him. Would Jesus be any different at all? Would Jesus have compassion on him? A leper, a social and religious outcast. It's why he refers to being made clean instead of being cured in verse 2, because to be cured would be to be made ceremonially and socially clean, able to now integrate back into society. Well, look at what Jesus does. In verse 3, it's a beautiful thing. It is astonishing. It's like picking up the hand grenade. Look at verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. We're not told how long this man had leprosy. Maybe it was months. Maybe it was years. Maybe it was decades. But in all that time, he has not experienced human touch, except maybe from fellow lepers. No one would come near him. Just think of it. Jesus, he could have spoken words from a safe distance and the man would have been instantly healed. But in his compassion, Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches this man. Jesus is the only one who can safely break the social distancing rules. And this moment is electric with the love and the compassion and the comfort of a holy God to a broken man. And as he touches him, he speaks into his anguished mind. Again, look at verse 3. Look at what Jesus says, these words of comfort. He assures him, I am willing, Jesus says. I'm willing. You know, our brokenness, it comes in many forms. And much of our brokenness is isolating from others. It isolates us. It puts a distance between us and other people. A distance from life-giving community, from friendship. Whether it be mental or physical health that prevents you from giving yourself to others, or circumstances that are so sad, debilitating, disappointing, crushing, that leave you feeling lonely, with a tendency to go in on yourself, feeling waves of hopelessness. Or maybe you're harboring sin in your life today. Maybe you've developed unhealthy habits and attitudes that bring you distance from friends and from loved ones, or stop intimacy within marriage, or alienate you from your friends. Maybe today you feel so distant from God. There are dark places in your heart and life that you'll let no one go. You feel too bad for God. You carry a guilt that defiles your conscience. You feel unclean before Him. Like, it's like you've crossed this invisible line, but nonetheless it feels real to you that somehow you feel puts you beyond the grace of God. And this morning, like the leper before Christ, kneeling, you wonder if Christ is willing to help you. Maybe that's not you at all. Maybe this morning your problem is that you are blind to your sin before a holy God and how that defiles you in His sight. Can't see your need of Jesus. You know, if you're coming to Jesus this morning on your knees for His help, be encouraged and feel the touch of His compassion. He reaches out and He welcomes all who come to Him in faith. And then hear His words, "I am willing, I'm willing." And let them comfort you. He knows. He knows everything. And He's full of compassion. But feelings of comfort at the compassion of Jesus aren't enough. We need more than that. So secondly, hear Christ's commanding voice and have hope. Hear Christ's commanding voice and have hope. Have a look at me with me at verse 3. "I am willing," Jesus said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. It's really easy at this point in the narrative to miss the extraordinary thing that happens here. Here are words of raw power in the face of disease, raw power over disease. And in that instant, those words cure and cleanse this leper. His life is transformed. His body is healed. He is cleansed. He can integrate back into society. He's effectively back from the dead. I heard an incredibly moving story recently of a writer who contracted coronavirus. He got progressively ill. He ended up in hospital on a ventilator, fighting for his life. Before he went on the ventilator, he managed to muster enough strength to get out his laptop and write farewell letters to his wife and teenage children. It was heartbreaking. And thankfully, he was one of the ones who made it through and got better. He got to go home, having survived coronavirus, able to see his wife and his children again, and integrate back into society. Now, can you imagine the tears of joy, the tears of gratitude, the tears of hope that this leper must have felt as he heard those words, "be clean." And his body that was racked with pain and decay came back to life. Parts of his body that had become numb and were crumbling, now tingling with life and with feeling and with health and with movement. And suddenly his future was transformed by hope. Maybe when he was diagnosed, maybe he had written his farewells to his loved ones. He'd effectively died to them. Now he can go home to his family, integrate back into society. He's back from certain death. So today, not only feel Christ's compassion and be comforted, but also hear Christ's commanding voice and have hope. But what kind of hope? Are we to expect healing today? To be kept safe from coronavirus if we come to Jesus for help? You know, Christians often fall into one of two camps on this. Some who say we should always pray for and always expect healing today. And if we aren't doing that and that isn't happening, we're not seeing that, then somehow our faith is defective. Then there are others at the other end of the spectrum who say, well, we shouldn't particularly pray for and expect healing today, but we should trust God's sovereign will. He's in control, and healing is for heaven, isn't it? Well, I wonder if we can learn from both camps. As we come to Jesus on our knees with this leper today and hear his commanding voice, his healing voice, three ways this gives us hope. Firstly, know that Christ can heal. Know that Christ can heal. And we see this clearly with the leper, don't we? Many of you have experienced his healing power in your lives, up throughout the course of your lives. If you're part of our church family, you'll know our story of praying against all the odds for our second child, who at 12 weeks pregnant was given pretty much zero chance of survival. We prayed for healing, and to the astonishment of St. George's consultants, there was complete and full healing. So let's pray. Let's expect God to heal today. He is all powerful. So know that Christ can heal. Let's pray for that. But secondly, know that Christ will heal. Christ will heal. If you are a Christian, you can know that you will be healed. 100%. The issue is timing. The issue is when. So Jesus' miraculous healings, they not only show his power, but they give us a small glimpse of the future, where Jesus' commanding power will create a new future world where his touch and his word will spread healing, will spread wholeness throughout the entire earth. A new heaven, a new earth, where disease and death is history and health is just everywhere. Such is the certain hope of believers, ultimately because Jesus beat death in his resurrection. And he gives eternal life. So know that Christ will heal in the life to come. And be thankful for that. But thirdly, know that Christ will have compassion. Christ will have compassion. Just think of it. The reality is that many died of diseases when Jesus was on earth. Jesus' healings were amazing, but they were a drop in the ocean. You know, this leper, one day he died. He was mortal. But know that when God chooses not to heal in the present, he's compassionate. And he gives strength for the journey through suffering. If only we'll lean into him for it. And his power is shown as much through sustaining us through suffering as healing us for a season. Now, healing is always just for a season, isn't it? We are mortal. So know that Jesus is compassionate. He will be compassionate. Let's trust him. You know, if we're to truly feel Christ's compassion and have comfort, and hear Christ's commanding voice and have hope, then first of all, as our last point this morning, we need to receive Christ's cleansing and have hope. Receive Christ's cleansing and have salvation. Have a look at verse 4. Then Jesus said to the man, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So receive Christ's cleansing and have salvation. Now, presumably, the crowds at this point, they've scattered in fear far enough away to at least have missed how this miracle actually happened. And so Jesus says to him, "Keep quiet, lest people get the wrong idea." You see, Jesus is not simply a miracle man, a kind of leader who would in due course lead a revolt against Roman oppression. In fact, Mark, in his gospel, he records this incident. He says that the man actually didn't keep quiet, and the result was that Jesus had to avoid populated areas. Instead, the man here, he's to simply go to the priest, the one who was responsible for examining people to certify they were cured, and he's to offer there the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. It's a reference back to Leviticus 14. Where God commanded through Moses that a person who was pronounced healed of a skin's disease had to sacrifice offerings to make atonement for their sin. And this story is a wonderful illustration that shows us our need, the needs of the world, to receive Jesus' cleansing and be saved through sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus' life for our guilt and for our forgiveness. You see, the leper's impurity should have transferred to Jesus that moment he came near, the moment that he touched him for sure. But instead, Jesus' purity is transferred to him, his healing power. He heals his body. He makes him clean. Healing and wholeness are contagious from Jesus. And that's why he's the hope of the world. You know, when you put your faith, your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus for you, for your forgiveness as the payment for the punishment of your sin, that you might be accepted by God, no matter how dark your secrets, when you come on your knees to Jesus for salvation, his cross, that is the place where guilt and the impurity of your sin is transferred to Jesus as he becomes filthy. As on the cross, he is unclean with your sin, with your shame. With my sin, with my shame. And it's so that his holiness, his moral cleanness, might be transferred to you and transform your life, as his Holy Spirit is able then to come in and live in your heart and life. You know, healing and wholeness for eternal life is contagious from Jesus Christ. Please, please, don't social distance from Christ. Don't try and quarantine from Christ. Come on your knees before him. Receive Christ's cleansing and have salvation. And you know, as you do that, he welcomes you. You feel Christ's compassion coming alongside you in your brokenness, giving you comfort. And as you do that, he welcomes you, and you hear Christ's commanding voice in your life through his word. directing your life, shaping your life, giving you hope. And you know, wonderfully, as Jesus once cried out in a loud voice in first century Jerusalem, in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Holy Spirit. Through Holy Spirit-filled believers, God's holy life, his life-giving power, flows out to the world today. If you're one who has received or is receiving, maybe for the first time this morning, the cleansing of Christ, so you have salvation, then today you can bring that message of cleansing for salvation to those around you. And as you feel Christ's compassion and you are comforted, well, that does something. That melts you to have compassion for others so that his compassion flows through you to those around you. And as you hear and submit to Christ's commanding voice, there's clarity in your life, there's light in your life from God, you have hope. And so that in turn, you can be bold and certain and loving in speaking Christ's words to those around you.